the John Forbes family, Julia, Carolyn, and Maynard, are being interviewed by Renee Garrelick for Concord's Oral History Program. The interview is taking place at their home at 1431 Main Street on January 6, 1993. When you first came to Concord, Julia, with your husband, John, to purchase the West Concord 5 and 10, what did the downtown West Concord area look like to you?
We came one day in June to visit the West Concord 5 and 10. We had heard that it was for sale. And John had sold his business in Winthrop and was looking for a new field. And we came out to look at the store. That day it was a little dark and dreary, and West Concord didn't look very bright. The store was interesting, and we visited with the owners, Betsy and Mary Neely, and looked around. We rode down the Losbrook Road, and the little houses down there looked kind of drab. And up the avenue wasn't too appealing. But we came again in a few days, because John was interested in the store. It was a sunny day and things looked much brighter, and West Concord was much more appealing. We came up Main Street, and the houses up here is a very pretty street with trees. And we drove by a house that was a sale sign on the front, and John said, "I'd like to own that house someday." And I guess about 2 months after that, we moved into that house, and it's been our home for 40 years.
So the year you came was
1951. We came, that was in June, and we bought the business in July.
And that was located where on Commonwealth Avenue?
It was 59 at that point.
Is that where the sandwich shop is now around?
It was the sandwich shop and drapery shop was where the original where the 5 and 10 was when Father purchased the business. It had been in existence since 1935, and it started across the street where the dog grooming parlor is today. But after the war, it moved across to that location. They expanded and contracted around the Christmas season, and I think the year before my father bought the business, they had expanded into both sides of the building. In other words, both where the Concord Drapes and the Walden Sandwich Shop are today. And that was the business location at that time.
Did you set out to be an all-purpose store, something for everyone?
Why, I'm not sure. I think probably the idea then was it was a 5 and 10. But it wasn't long before John had new lines and plenty of merchandise. He was famous for having lots of merchandise always.
What stores do you remember that were located on that Commonwealth Avenue area?
Well, across the street, the hardware store was there. Frank Moscarello was the owner. And downstairs in the old hotel building were several, perhaps two or three small businesses, but I don't remember what they were, but they were not thriving at all or attractive. And down the street, Anderson's service station, where the Minuteman is now.
Chris Anderson, who passed away just a month or so ago, owned and operated that and had for some some time. It was a Chrysler Plymouth agency and International Trucks. Glenn Sweat had the drugstore between where we were and the post office, which is still in its same location. The dentist, Dr. Davis, had his office in the I think it was where Needle Arts is.
Okay.
I think he was in where Needle Arts is. I don't remember who was in the other.
I think it was all drugstore.
It probably was all Glenn Sweat's drugstore.
Yeah, I think it was all drugstore.
Yeah.
The Garnet Mill was down where the
leather shop is today. Dan Hayes, who lived across the street from this house, up on the hill at 1450 or whatever it is, owned the Garnet Mill and ran that for some period of time.
And some of the proprietors of today, like Condon's, Mandrioli's, Hay, they were there, weren't they?
Yes, Jill Hay, Condon, Mandrioli, and Carter's were all, and now they're second and third generations.
What the shopping plaza was Derby's farm. It was a big old yellow farmhouse and the rest in that location.
Big barn that had a
big barn.
Antiques
and the rest that were run from there. The Hudson Bank didn't exist here. The Harvard Bank didn't exist here. In the middle, there were no banks in West Concord. Mm-hmm. That is a part of the story that we'll talk about a little bit later on.
Out back was
Concord Woodworking was the industrial park behind us. That was Damon, John Damon, and the Damon brothers and cousins ran Concord Woodworking, which was a company that made snow fence and trellises and wood products and marketed them all over the country and I guess around the world. Dover Ski Binding was in the building that Minuteman Press is in today. They were famous during World War II for the ski bindings for the 10th Mountain Division and other skiing outfits, and made ski binding products for some years to come after the war. Mrs. Holden, Holly Holden's mother, worked in the back of the machine shop there at Acadian Utilities, and she made wooden clothes drying racks, which were the envy of that industry. Her supply and demand was such that she was always behind in orders, because I think she was the only one doing the work.
And she did them to perfection.
It was a meticulous piece of work that she did.
And they were sold.
They were sold all around
the country.
Whitney Colin Grain was in the location of Junction Square today. It was strictly coal and later oil. It was delivered out of there. In our time, there was no grain sales. There may have been in previous years, but I don't think that there was any.
Not in our time.
You had told me people's shopping habits in terms of the evenings that the stores were open late are quite different from today.
Yes. We used to be open two nights a week, Friday and Saturday, until 9 o'clock. And I believe the hours changed when the stores down in Concord Center started to be open Thursday night. So we cut down on our nights and we were open Thursday night too. But back in our early days, families came Saturday night. It was a family visiting day or evening. And they would come and bring a long list of for the next week, things they needed. And it was just a nice family gathering.
Did that last up until like 1970? That,
I would think the thing that made the change was as businesses started to pay people on Thursdays, stores stayed open Thursday evening to be able to allow people to do shopping. I think this was the catalyst that made things change. I asked earlier about stockage and the rest as far as the 5 and 10 was concerned, and was it oriented towards being a general store? The history of that is that my father grew up on a farm in a little town in Nova Scotia, wasn't enamored by the farm life, and worked in the general store that was 3 miles down the road. This general store had food and all of the other necessities of life, hardware and probably a little bit of clothing and boots and the rest. He gained his orientation towards stores and the general nature of stores through that experience. The experience that he had when he came to from Nova Scotia to Massachusetts in 1929, from 1929 until 51, it was all grocery business. A&P for 11 years and 10 and a half or so as an independent grocer under the Pioneer Food Store. So when he came to West Concord, he'd had that experience to build on. And it was a function of what did people want, was what he saw as the nature of the inventory. And he did that by having a want book, and when somebody wanted something that he didn't have, he wrote it down and went shopping for it. Went to Boston one day a week to visit the different wholesalers and distributors in and around Boston and the communities between there and between West Concord and Boston, Waltham, Watertown. And that's how the inventory was built. It was a function of if you wanted it, he bought what he had to satisfy you and then put the rest of them on the shelf. And realizing that if you wanted it, there was probably one or two others somewhere in the community that had the similar needs or desires. The business has continued that same philosophy even up to today.
It was real. Personalized service was mm-hmm. very evident, and mm-hmm. that's what kept attracting people well beyond the immediate mm-hmm. area. Both of you, go ahead.
Well, that trend continued, as I said, right through, and we try to maintain the same type of relationship with the community even today. The West Concord community changed and developed. There were movements. One of the couple of the businesses that we did not talk about, as we mentioned, West Concord in 1951, was Tombino Plumbing and Marty Yaga's bicycle shop. They occupied the first floor and the front portion of the current West Concord 5 and 10. The building was owned by the Bartolomeo family, who were a West Concord fixture for a great number of years and had run a fruit and vegetable business there out of the same shop. As that business went out, Tombino ran his plumbing shop out of the building. Tombino built his own building up off of Commonwealth Avenue, and as he was moving out, then that space was coming available, and the business and the building was for sale. And this happened in early 1958. My father had 7 years in West Concord at that point. things had, it had not been easy, but things had moved along and progress had been made. And progress had been made with everything except the landlord in the building where the 5 and 10 was. He didn't want to expand or improve the building. He didn't want to sell the building. So when the building down the street became available, my father bought it. And in 1958, moved the business a few doors down the street. It was a monumental move. Palma Mover helped and moved some of the bigger things and got reestablished in the new building.
So by the time you moved into the building, it was 1959?
It was 1959 when mm-hmm. the actual move took place. 1958, mm-hmm. we used
a portion
of the upstairs as a toy annex. An interesting anecdote, one of the women who currently works in the store was a high schooler at that point. I was just I had graduated from college and was set to go into the Army that Christmas. But Nancy Hutchinson, or Nancy Delfino at that time, dealt with Christmas toys in this little annex down the street. There was a period of, I don't know, after high school, et cetera, till 8 or 10 years ago that she didn't work for us, but she's been back working for that amount of time. The business moved in, and in 1968, my father expanded the building, squared it off. What had been backroom storage was opened up as selling space, and a 1,200 square foot storeroom was built onto the back end of the building. It didn't take long to fill that somewhat empty space with merchandise and fill it in with things that people wanted. Same philosophy. Don't have an empty shelf. One of the favorite expressions was, you can't do business from an empty wagon. And he epitomized that and continued to do the same.
Well, a recent Globe article suggested that one pass the picture postcard Concord Center, get to the real Concord, and that meant for the writer the West Concord 5 and 10, which epitomized the earlier Main Street USA era. And I think that's quite true. It said crammed in with a bit of everything, people rely on the store for everything, which is perhaps the highest compliment. Your father, in this case, Maynard and Carolyn, was also very much a part of the community. It was more than just being a businessman in town.
Oh yes, he always seemed to be knowing what was going on and who was doing what. Village Improvement Society or a group or
and
association, and belonged to the Minutemen, Chamber of Commerce.
The Village Improvement Association, that was a incorporation of West Concord merchants?
The Village Improvement Association has been in and out of West Concord history since the late 1800s. It was actually a creation of one of the older Damon men.
Mm-hmm.
But this iteration of the West Concord Village Improvement Association came about in the early 70s. And it came about And because the Concord Chamber of Commerce and the former Board of Trade was struggling to get itself going in downtown Concord and looked to include businesses in West Concord. But they were two independent business areas. And I think that the orientation of the people involved in the Concord Chamber of Commerce was much more towards the downtown Mill Dam area. As well it might. The Village Improvement Association was an attempt to, by West Concord people, to set West Concord out within the community and the communities at large. It was a split-off group, a renegade group, if you will, of West Concord business people who took great pride in this little West Concord community. And if for those who remember the Junction Functions, which were an early September, Town of Concord birthday time celebration, they were a good melding of the West Concord community. My father was an active participant in both the Concord Chamber of Commerce and the Village Improvement Association. He felt that we couldn't break the umbilical cord from downtown Concord, but he saw the need to become involved in the Village Improvement Association at the same time. So he was involved in both organizations and continued to be.
One very interesting aspect when people look at both downtown areas is how many of the West Concord businesses are owner-occupied.
I think that that's a key to what makes West Concord tick, and it has been for years. Mother talked about the number of generations in the Mandrioli business, the Condon business, the hay business. They're the second generation in Carter's Furniture is getting out to the end without another generation to carry it on, but somehow I feel that there will be a transfer and a transference there. In the West Concord Pharmacy, which is new from our original time, but over in the shopping center, Bobby Carr continues on in the pharmacy business, as Arthur's more concerned now with real estate and retiring. So you see that there continues to be those fixtures, and it makes the people who live and work there and make a living from the community much more interested in what's going on in the community than those who rent, go home at night to some other community. It makes a vast difference, I think.
Part of the change in people's consumer habits have been clearly cash to credit. In your early days, probably people paid in cash for everything, almost.
Paid in cash, and you had to have very good identification to cash a check. I believe that there was very few checks that
ever came back. One of the biggest sources of checks were payroll checks, and whatever night it happened to be, the family nights as people came in, there was cash. Father made sure that there was cash available so that your paycheck could be cashed. Checking accounts were not the thing of the day at that point.
Credit cards.
And there were no banks.
Credit cards, well, and the point of the banks, which I alluded to earlier, there weren't any banks in West Concord, so If you came to from work to shop, you had a paycheck in your pocket. Somehow you had to deal with it. And I know that the Westmacott supermarket did and probably still does in some cases cash payroll checks. Definitely not as many today as they did at that time, but we were involved there also. The advent of a bank in West Concord came when the Hudson Bank moved in. My father had prodded the downtown Concord banks, Harvard Trust, now Bay Banks, and some of the others to come to West Concord, open up a branch. There was enough business there. There was a requirement. There was a need for a branch in West Concord. When the Hudson Bank finally came, and the downtown banks didn't follow on immediately, I think that the West Concord merchants who were here were pleased and showed their support by dealing with the Hudson Bank. That changed things. They became open on Thursday evening. You asked the time when this, mm-hmm. the time frame when this change started. Well, I think that's probably the era at which the Thursday evening started, and the other evenings paled off some.
What year did the Hudson Bank start in?
I think it was 1957, but
I see. Okay.
It's somewhere mm-hmm. in that.
67.
67.
67. Yeah, it would have been 67.
67.
67,
68. Yeah,
somewhere just
in,
opened when we moved
yeah,
up here.
Somewhere in that time frame. And I think that's the time where you saw the whole cash flow system of the individual start to change. More checks, the advent of credit cards, and then the proliferation of credit cards, so that now there's a reasonable amount of business done through those means.
And I think as the building in West Concord increased, when we came, of course, there was no Thoreau Hills, there was no Deacon Haynes Road out that way.
Upper Lawsbrook Road
was a farm, and it worked on the farm. You know, all these areas were built up. The school got more active. The old schoolhouse, the old wooden schoolhouse, was torn down in the playground area of Harvey Wheeler. It was the first year I went, when I came, it was the first year that the 7th and 8th grade went to Concord, to middle school at Peter Buckley. Every other years have been up to 8th grade here in West Concord. So things changed. More people moved in. More families moved in. Genrad was built, or
Genrad moved out here just prior to the time, or at about the same time that we moved here. Genrad built here and started to move out from Cambridge. That obviously was a big thing that helped to build the area. 1958, as we're reading in the papers today, is when digital started. So digital helped to provide a network for and occupation for a great number of the people who moved into the area. Electronics firms all over helped to expand the population here in Concord and Acton and Carlisle, the towns that we deal with. With people from.
And in those days too, the train was a focus. There was a bus line that went from Maynard to Harvard Square, mm-hmm. wound its way through the little towns and so forth. And so people did have access to getting out of town if they didn't have a second car, if their father worked somewhere else. So there was always, or if they didn't have, as she says, no car. And so it did make it a more mobile society after a bit. but a lot of people walked wherever they were going. I wore out baby carriage wheels, you know, walking. So it does show that the area has grown tremendously. Older people, when we were young people, the older generation, now it's another young generation moving in to where an older generation has moved out again. So times have changed, but are somewhat staying the same in the turnover.
The town certainly has grown more affluent. Was West Concord more of a modest lifestyle then?
Oh, definitely, and I think it still is. There are many definitions of West Concord. You see, some people would say that West Concord is everything this side of Route 2. Some people would say it's 500 feet circumference from the 99. Some people would cut and paste the focus of all of this side of Route 2, then you have a much greater mixture of individual finances than you did in the 1951 time frame. This was farm country, as Carolyn said. Thoreau Hills was woods. You went out to 90-acre corner, and there were a few large farms.
Dairy, mostly.
Pardon?
Dairy.
There was dairy. Wheeler Farm was corn and whatever. But
Andy Boy Farms was in the Nishota Country Club.
Right. It was farm country at that point, so that the division at that point put modest incomes of the little center village of West Concord, which was built around manufacturing. Losbrook Road were houses for one manufacturing venture. Highland Street was for another. Crest Street, Cottage Street Hill was the harness factory houses. And you went up Commonwealth Avenue to the prison houses, so that the community of West Concord, as we understood it in 1951, was oriented towards working in the local community.
Working people.
Mm-hmm. Whereas you see most of downtown Concord were traveling to Boston or dealing in some other activity where there was and is today, to some extent, a lot more wealth than here in West Concord.
But West Concord, with its commercial life, was, as you said, able to provide local people with a source of employment.
Source of employment and continuing employment. And those who were locally here were those that worked in the businesses. That made for, as we talked a little while ago, about walking to work, walking to a great many of the activities. Didn't require a car to get to work. Didn't require a lot of parking. We've transitioned over the course of 40 years to having to look for parking in the downtown business district a lot more, and it is a greater concern today than it was. It's a greater concern in almost every business district today, but it's West Concord is no different than other business districts.
Hard to believe that meters are actually coming in now.
Well, there are little red spots on the sidewalk. There are no posts drilled unless it's happened in the last hour. That may come about, and it certainly will change the bucolic nature of downtown West Concord, but it may be something that will help ease some of the tensions over different types of businesses and their individual parking requirements.
I think that we can see a vast change in the look of West Concord business area from when we came to town. The stores are all nicely painted and repairs have been done. The whole street looks nice, and it's a very it's a more friendly. I think the merchants have a better feeling and working together than they did back in those days.
What was also so impressive over the years is that there is a downtown civic area in West Concord, you know, where you have the library, the churches, and as well as the shopping in very close proximity to each other. And of course the West Concord Union Church was very important to you and your husband over the years.
Yes. I think it's has been to the community.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very big part of
the West Concord community.
It has been for many years.
Again, it was the churches were central to the area. They delineated West Concord and Concord. There's Congregational Church and UCC Church in Concord Center. There's one here in West Concord. It was a union church. It was an interdenominational church.
Mm-hmm.
So it still is pretty much. And Our Ladies help the people of the Catholic faith on this side. So it's and everything being so centrally located, where you again walked to the library and the store and the church and school and work, whatever, don't see as much anymore, although you see a few baby carriages being pushed nowadays as the young people move back in. But it has changed. It is a very busy street on Main Street. Commonwealth Avenue is a very busy street. Take your life in your hands trying to get across it at certain times of day. The train station is now revamped and is a very big area of parking problem because so many commuters are coming and going on the train. So it has changed. It has stayed a little bit the same.
Well, in 1991, your father marked his 85th birthday and the 40th anniversary of the store, a real milestone on both counts. But in 1983, going back, the two of you were nominated and selected as the town's honored citizen. Do you recall that time?
Yes, I do, very plainly. It was a very great honor. It was a nice year.
I think part of the reason for the recognition stems back to the involvement in the community, as well as involvement in the community through the business. Both mother and father have been active in all kinds of organizations within the community. My father had been a part of the a member and a chairman of the Board of Health in the town, active in Rotary and the Chamber of Commerce, as we've talked about, was always involved at town meeting time, and there weren't many times that that he would not be available to help you find this, or help you find that, or do this, or do that. And I think that it was the recognition of that total involvement within the town that provided the impetus for this selection as the honored citizens. This is that also was the.
It was a big year, 1983. It was our 50th wedding anniversary.
Oh my!
And the Concord Minutemen went to Europe, to Scotland, to Paris, and so it really was a full year.
You alluded to the 1991. Celebration. We put together a series of pictures which you have gone through, Renee, and memorabilia, trying to outline from the picture of my father and Patsy Mealy on the sidewalk in June of 1951 as they were getting ready to transfer the ownership. Through a great many different stages, up to even the picture in the Globe, which put three generations of Forbes men in a mirror image in the 5 and 10, and it was a time of reminiscence and. A good family time, a good time to look back over the people that had worked. We had a number of the people who worked way back in the early days of the family ownership. One person who couldn't be there was a woman by the name of Mildred Ionello. She was in ill health at the time. We did talk with her at that time. We've seen her since then. But she was a very a mainstay of the organization in those early days. She was one who epitomized walking to work. She lived down on the corner of Conant Street. Her husband worked for the railroad. And she was part of this little close-in West Concord community. There have been a great number of others over the course of years who have come and have worked.
Mildred had worked for Patsy Mealy. So when we bought the store, she consented to come and work for us, which was good because she knew the customers and knew the area. She had a daughter that was in school as same class as Maynard. The first time that the West Concord, or the only time that the West Concord 5 and 10 was closed until the last few years, was high school graduation. Both Maynard and her daughter, Lilla, graduated, and that the families wanted to go, and that left no one to tend the store. So the West Concord 5 and 10 was closed. It was quite unusual to close that store.
Well, I appreciate these reminiscences. You've certainly added so much to the town's character and commerce, and delighted that I had the opportunity to know John Forbes, and we miss him. Thank you.